twice. Good afternoon, everybody. You're now live on the Middleman Radio. This is the Middleman Talk Show.
And this is Kevin.
And this is Jim.
Thank you.
What's good, everybody? How's everybody doing?
I don't know, man. Sound like you're having a little technical difficulties over there, so make sure all your connectors are good to go, brother.
We should be good and going. How's everybody doing, bro?
Man, trying to stay corona-free.
I heard that. Cases are on the rise in the United States. There is no state currently now that is trending down as far as case numbers. At least 1,000 people have been dying a day. It's getting serious out here, guys.
Yeah. The mentality of the people that's, I'm not wearing a mask, they're a little special.
Right, and I don't understand like the lack of urgency and seriousness of it. It's like people have just become laxed about it. And, you know, of course, we have seen, you know, over the, you know, this particular year, all the confusion that has been put out. So, of course, these numbers were coming. Like Dr. Fauci said it, the numbers were coming.
But what's perplexing to me is that the sheer hypocrisy in it, Republicans or conservatives or whatever you want to call them, they are so adamant about, you know, invading people's bodies when it comes to abortion or being gay or any other reason. But when it comes to this, they're so adamant about, oh, no, you know, you don't have a right to tell me that I'm going to have a mask on.
And then have the nerve to sit up there and be like, yeah, how dare you? Fringe on my rights. I can hear him, you know, they're
right.
Fringe on my rights.
My First Amendment.
But
like,
yeah,
they're
so adamant about the other. So I don't get it. But you know what? I do get it because they're hypocrites on every single thing that they're usually so adamant about. So this is no different.
True story.
Like, where do you think this behavior comes from?
They were born like that.
Yeah, man. Come on, man. This is America. And I'm not saying it from the standpoint like America's bad, but what it produced is suspect in a mug. Because I mean, you know, when you are entitled from birth with a mentality, and it hasn't stopped since the conception of this country, this is what you deal with, bro. I mean, you think about it. When Americans, not all Americans, but when certain Americans, if you follow what I'm saying, go overseas, what happens? They act a certain way and everybody look at them like you are ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the world don't like us.
A lot of countries look at us like, you know, we're nuts. And Americans, and, you know, let's just put it on the table, especially that good old boy, white, conservative American who came to this country, stolen land, and, you know, to expect anything other than them to continue on that destructive legacy is just, you know, crazy to me. Not everyone is that way.
Right.
But a good majority of them are. They are that way. They think they're entitled. They think that land is theirs. Even the air.
Right.
Even like the coronavirus.
Right.
You know, I wear a mask because I don't have a right to hurt anybody. You know, maybe I will be asymptomatic. Maybe I won't get hurt, but I don't know about my neighbor. And who am I to infringe that on anybody else or kill anybody else or their loved ones, like they're not important. But that singularity, that isolation is like, I'm only going to worry about myself and not my neighbor, the selfishness of it, the coldness of it. It's in their nature, and it was in their nature since they stepped foot on this country.
I think go ahead, Al.
Well, I was just going to add to what Jen was saying, but that's the easiest thing to do is to wear a mask, man. I mean, like, I don't understand, bro. Like, I am just, you know, with all the extra rhetoric, man, like, just wear a mask, man.
The nature of the wolf, think about it. You know, you, Nick, and I had that conversation a while ago, and you really think about it, man, it's really prevalent
that's
with these people, because it's not all of them, and you know, when you say, I'm only thinking about me, it goes back to the old adage of dog eat dog. And I mean, a lot of our mentalities is not like that, man. But we live in a world, in a society where you look at our movies, you look at the mentality of the people that's running everything, it's very destructive to a degree. It's to a degree where, I hate to say it, but it's all about destruction and death.
Yeah, everything's it's like they want to. It's like they want to turn it into like the Hunger Games or I don't know, Maze Runner type movies. Like they want
Mad
to turn it
Max
into something like
Thunderdome.
That.
Yeah, Mad Max. Thunderdome. That's
right.
Crazy, man.
Look
that
what they did
ain't.
To the Native Americans just a couple years ago when they said, please don't, you know, come to our land and build these oil fields and kill our animals and kill us and put all those environmental hazards. And they basically said, screw you, money was important, and they did it anyway.
They did a Dave Chappelle, F your land, your land. That's basically what they did. And then think about it, Jen, going back to what you were saying about the mask. This whole and this misappropriation and appropriation of everything that we do. The Million Man March is now the Million MAGA March.
MAGA March.
You got a 5,000 people out there. I don't even know. They tried to make it like, it was thousands and thousands. Yeah, right. But anyway, man, them fools all out there without their mask on. I seen them jokers, man, when they saw Trump ride by in this little caravan waving at them like, man, they lost their mind.
Are like, these people are in love with him and have moved away from what they call patriotism to me. To
what
support Trump is patriotism.
What does Trump truly represent when you think about it? I mean, it's not even about politics anymore.
White supremacy.
I mean, does he embody that? Does he signify that? Does he, I mean, what is the allure to this dude?
Because they see, and they see him getting away with stuff that they want to get away with.
And I think it was bigger than him. I think that, you know, one thing that bothers me is that when Obama was in office, people were so enraged. Like, it enraged them. And it was like they couldn't stand it. It's that threat in them that we are dying, that we're not going to be the majority anymore, that we're not going to be the ones on top, and they're going to come after us and get us.
Yep.
And I think Obama embodied that movement, realizing that that is in the near future for them and their lineage and their children, and they were just so upset. We as a people shouldn't have never allowed them to disrespect Obama the way they did. And when it was over and they had a chance to elect someone new, they wanted someone that represented that white supremacy, good old boy, white man, I'm on top, I'm in charge.
Hold on, man. I get it. We in the South. Think about what I'm about to say. I work around people. I've been around people that call people from New York or Chicago or Ohio. They call them Yankees. They call them Yankees. They even call Donald Trump Yankees. But all of a sudden, when he became the nominee and he started, I don't even recall him saying the whole dog whistle.
They sticking to their kind. They sticking to their kind, bro.
That's their kind. But before he became the nominee and became the president, he was a Yankee. Now
it don't matter. It was either him or a lady. And you know, these old white men did not want to have a woman for a president.
No.
Or a Mexican, because Ted Cruz thought he was going to get it, but he got played like a little punk.
I'll give one thing to Trump. He is a propaganda master.
Yes.
You know, people elected, what was that show he had? The Apprentice. Mm-hmm. People elected the host of The Apprentice. This whole image of him that he was a New York, you know, big wig, you know, business owner that could fired. You know, they wanted that image, and that's what they thought that,
and
they
what
were
we got.
And y'all, y'all know something. He stole that whole "You're fired" from Back to the Future 2. Y'all know that, right?
Oh, what was it like?
I'm dead
with Biff played as him. Yes.
Yeah. He Biff and he all
Biff.
That is too funny.
I thought about that the other day. I said, this is how 2020 is like Marty went and messed up the future, and here we go.
Did.
It's an alternative timeline, and it's crazy.
Yes.
This is what we're dealing with. But,
man.
What we got for today for our people out there listening now?
Yo, thank you for tuning in today. We definitely appreciate all our listeners and callers that we have listening to, with us today. America, a new beginning. So, Joe Biden has been announced as president-elect. People are still awaiting what will be next for America. You know, we just endured, you know, 4 years of division, 4 years of partisanship, 4 years of greed, and 4 years of belittlement. Towards the, you know, the people of the world, not just the American people, but the people of the world from this administration. So what are we going to expect under the new administration as a people? What parts of the Black agenda do we want to be met under this administration, and what do they owe to them as far as the Black voters? Will Medicare for All be pushed into this administration? Also, there are some talks about the universal basic income. So basically, this is just a monthly stipend that people will receive based on a particular tax bracket as a free gift from the government, right? So we received a stimulus over the summer, and so there has been talks about, you know, continuing this particular package. So will this be something under a Biden administration that we will see lawmakers speak on? And is America ready for the first female president who is a person of color? What would a Harris presidency look like if Biden cannot complete his term? And what would be the effect on a Trump America if he runs again in 2024, right? He has mentioned that he will possibly run again. What would the Democrats have to do to ensure that they do not alienate some of the moderate Republicans that may vote for them in the next election? And why do some Democrats continue to cater towards the white fragility? And will we see more states turn from red to blue or vice versa because of the results of the current election? And so we've seen in the past, in the Obama election period, we saw where states went from blue to red. So will this be an ongoing thing within the next election cycle? We also want to discuss there has been some failed attempts with a coup towards the government of Michigan, and are there others brewing? And will Puerto Rico eventually be allowed to vote in future elections? So we definitely want to have a great discussion today. We want to hear your opinions on the questions and topics that we are discussing today. So we're going to get right into it with the question as far as what are we expecting under this administration with Joe Biden as a people. Now, some of the things in which, you know, myself and my team have been discussing behind closed doors, such as like, you know, I am for, you know, Medicare for All, which would be like the next, you know, question that we're going to talk about. But I'm for, you know, Medicare for All. We need like student loan forgiveness. We need a better infrastructure bill. We need definitely need some changes with our education department, especially with those policies that Betsy DeVos has put in place. We definitely want to make sure that our schools receive those resources in which they are lacking and more. Because as of the pandemic now, you know, we have actually seen that you know, our families are in need of more resources, right? Just giving, you know, a child a device and, you know, something to, you know, possibly try to get on virtual learning with is still not enough, right? And we still have those areas in which definitely needs higher level of resources with healthcare, Social Security benefits, and things of that nature. So what do you guys expect that, you know, we would want to see this new administration move forward with.
Well, hell, you done covered everything, so ain't too much we gonna have to talk about.
Bad.
I'm like, man.
Bad. I mean, yeah, man.
Look,
I'm happy, bro. Like,
I will say this. If the what has happened, and it happens on both sides, I think that what has to happen is we have to get serious. Now, if you really want serious change, make lobbying illegal. Make taking corporate funds illegal, because that's the real problem. Because Democrats and Republicans, the pharmaceutical companies, the healthcare companies, has their hand in everybody's pocket, Democrats, Republicans, whatsoever, and that's why nothing really changes. That's why we don't have universal health care. That's why we don't have some of the things that we need. It's because lobbyists put money into politicians' pockets, and if they want real change, they should do like the sister from New York, the Latina sister from New York was saying, and outlaw money coming from corporate funds to politicians in D.C., and then you'll see some change.
Well, just my humble opinion, I think they really need to focus on 2024. They need to focus on 2022.
Yeah.
You know, kind of get everybody geared up for 2022, for some of the seats that are going to come up in 2024. They need to go ahead and put some things in place that will prevent future presidents from sitting in the White House and saying, I ain't leaving, basically. Because this crap that Trump is doing right now, man, it's unheard of. It's uncouth. It is stupid. But he's sitting in there like a big child.
What's happening now is that we're having a coup. We're having a slow-moving coup.
Yep.
He's firing generals. The first thing you do if you read The Art of War, first thing you do is get rid of the army.
So anybody
who opposes him, he's getting rid of. He's surrounding himself and the army with only loyalists. And that is very, very dangerous.
But you
We're
know
having
what?
A slow-moving coup. He will not leave, you guys. Something's going to happen. And I'm saying it now. I'm calling it. We need to pay attention. We need to be cautious. Go back and listen to one of our shows about arming yourself, being ready, because we have a slow-moving coup happening in the government.
Yep. You know, one thing about that coup, though, Jen, and I know we're going to get into it a little bit more even later. Now, we can kind of bounce around if need be.
Yeah, we can.
One thing about it, too, with those people that he has as loyalists to him, you have to have people beneath them that are going to be loyalists, too, because they ain't going to make no moves. A lot of our soldiers, a lot of our people that's in certain strategical spots in America, they ain't going to move just because Trump say move, because a lot of them don't like him anyway. Now, true, yes, he's putting people that are loyal to him in place, but they can actually get got too.
Yeah,
right, but they have people.
Some mess is going to happen. It's going to be a lot of people up top are being replaced, and if you're just like a mid-level or a low-level person, what would you do? What's going to happen is they're going to start kicking out the people that are on the bottom. They start with the top and replace that, so the top people can start kicking out the people lower than them that aren't loyal. That's what happened.
That's correct. And I think that's exactly what is going on and what he has been doing over the years when he has been firing and putting more people in those particular positions, right? So he's been continuously to find people who will spit and say the narratives in which he wants and also follows him, which is why we have an attorney, you know, general who is basically like just ruining like what it means to be a attorney general for the United States of America. Also, too, like bringing in, you know, like this new administration, you know, I'm not saying like Biden is going to like wave a magic wand and everything is going to be great, right? But at least we'll have some form of dignity back to that particular position as being, you know, the president. You know, we won't have to possibly worry about like cringing when we hear, you know, talks with other countries and trying to do deals with other countries. We may not have to worry about that, but we will be worrying about, you know, those things in which Jen identified, like those lower level, you know, and localized attacks in which, you know, as we saw at the Million MAGA March, right, those people are from, you know, possibly all over, but they still have their followers too that will continue to, you know, spirit that same language, facilitate that same anger.
Yeah, I mean,
you're correct. And I think what's crazy is the president of the United States of America, a world leader, stand there at a MAGA march surrounded by anti-government. The people that support him are anti-government. These mm-hmm. are militia people that live in the mountains and practice those gun things that's going on. You have the Proud Boys who are admitted white supremacists. It is bad. It is bad. And, you know, most Americans, whether you're white or black or whatever, are peaceful people. But he has this group of people that are zealous and anti-government, but pro-Trump. Like, he's a king. And I think that a dangerous thing is going, and it scares me. It really does. It scares me.
And it's not all on him, you know, as, you know, like Charles Koch said something the other day that really, you know, piqued my interest. And I'm like, this is coming from him. So he and his brother, you know, were mega for decades with the GOP, right? They have, you know, placed a lot of people in those positions, you know, financially. So he basically said that because of partisanship, we've come to expect for politics too little of ourselves and one another. So we've seen how Rupert Murdoch's, you know, fan base of people who's from Fox News are leaving his platform, going to this new platform called Newsmax, right? People also are familiar with Parler as well. You know, the site in which you can just go on there and just talk however you want to talk. But all of those different things are being put in place to continue that same narrative.
Yeah. I mean, they can run and go wherever they need to go. They can go to anything they want to go to and want to be free there. But they've been exposed. We see who they are. We know what they are. We know what they're dealing with. Just like our show, Allies Are All Lies, we're trying to figure out who are our allies and who's going to be down for this movement of moving America forward. Now, the thing about it is, if they're worried about leaving and losing power, you know, they in the wrong state of mind, because once they realize we on one planet, one earth, anything go wrong with this planet, man, everybody dead. Money don't matter. You know, your status don't matter. Your color don't matter. Everything done. But they can carry on how they want to carry on with this foolishness, and we ain't got to deal with it completely. So let's see here. It seems like we need to go ahead and move on to the next question. And what parts of the black agenda gets met under this administration, and are they going to owe, what are they going to owe to them, basically, the black voters? Jen, do you think they owe us anything for this election that we just helped them win? I'm going to say hell yeah.
Yeah, I do, but I do. I have any expectations? No, I do not. I don't have any expectations for the Biden administration, because first, what, you know, no pun intended, but what really trumps everything is coronavirus.
Right now, we
live. You know, ain't no use of anything unless we live. We've got to get a handle on coronavirus. That's number one. And I think that it's going to take the next 2 years to even mm-hmm. get a complete handle on coronavirus. And if you're reading mm-hmm. and if you're watching, you know, the specialists on this, they're saying that coronavirus is not the end. There's other illnesses that are coming, and it's been happening, you know, every year. What was that? The chicken flu and SARS and Ebola, and they're getting worse and more aggressive, and so they're coming. And so we have to prepare how we as a society act against these diseases when they come. And so I think that's the main focus of the Biden administration will be to get a handle on this.
So should Medicare for All be pushed?
Yes.
It should, but like I said, unless they're ready to talk about ending corporate funding to politicians, it's just mm-hmm. never going to happen. They're never going to push for it. That's why Obama pushed for it, but they killed it. They didn't want it on both sides. They didn't do it. You know, that they got Obamacare, but you still have to have money. You still have to pay. It's a shame that we live in one of the most progressive, you know, countries on earth. And, you know, we have people die because they can't afford their diabetic medication. We have people die because they can't afford to go to the doctor. We have people make a decision between rent and or the, something for their children and going for a doctor's visit or medicine. And that should not happen. But the reason it does happen is what they say, follow the money. And it's just about money. And they're spreading it around. So they can still keep killing us.
And those who are receiving that money are still living by that old good old phrase, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, when really, you know, that is not the case for everyone. You know, even, you know, our families out here who have those serious health conditions that have to spend, you know, a good part of their monthly income to pay for their medication. Because their insurance don't cover all the medication.
But y'all and beyond that, look at, you talked about education, Al. Look at our at the pharmaceutical companies that are in medical schools. Do they teach cure?
Yes.
They don't teach cure. They teach medicine. They don't teach medical students how to cure people and make people well. They teach them how to subside
keep the system going
with medicine so they can keep pushing them. It's far, the roots of this thing is so deep that until they're ready to address that, nothing will get better.
Well, you know, one thing also I want to add to it, it's a second fold to that. As far as with Medicare for All, I think it has to be a re-education of America, because the people that oppose it, they truly don't understand it. They look at it as, okay, this black man set up something where I got to pay to get health care. If it goes to the point where we're going to all pay for it, the first thing people say is, well, I'm not going to use my money. You're not going to use my tax money to pay for this poor person over here, or this black person over here, this person of color. I'm not going to pay for their health care, or this person that sit on their butt. See, there has to be a re-education in America, because right now everybody is under the impression that, okay, like you said earlier, Al, and like you said earlier, Jen, it's all about me, all for me, not realizing that globally this world has been connected more on every other aspect of money, health, and communication. But we over here lacking like, oh, man, it's all about me. They crazy.
Okay, so I'm trying to remember this, like the actual figure that was requested for the first stimulus check this year to bail out the corporations. I forgot how many trillions of dollars. Okay. So if we were just to take a portion of that, we could fund what? Medicare for All.
You could. And also you could help in other, you know, the more healthy people are, the less that, you know, it's costing us people in hospitals, the more people work, the more money you can put back in your community. It drains a community for people to be sick and for people to not work. And so, you know, I want to make sure that like we're thinking about how it's beneficial for everybody to make sure they call a congressperson when everything ends and the smoke clears and say these things to them.
Now, what about this basic income, Al? I see that you mentioned it. I say don't other countries already do something of that magnitude where, but the only thing you worry about with Americans, and that's certain Americans, like with this stimulus that they sent, and then getting an extra $600 with their unemployment, a lot of people were making more money at home sitting on their butt on unemployment than they did at their own job. Now, would this be a downfall for us, or would this be something positive if we had universal income? And I know it's not to cover all income, but I know it's a portion of it. But
how can it be a downfall? The real problem is we don't pay people enough money. It's a shame. No one can live off $8 an hour. No one can live off $7.50 an hour. It's stupid. It's stupid to even assume that somebody could live off $7.50. And so the real problem, when they were saying, oh, you know, we need to cut it back because it's people benefit by staying at home because of the unemployed. You doggone right. If it's more beneficial for me to stay home, why would I go to your $7 an hour and you ask me to be a slave and then complaining because I don't want to be one? Like, that's crazy. We need to have a universal income, but also they need to raise minimum wage. I think it should be higher than $15 an hour. I think they should raise minimum wage way at least way higher than $7.50. I don't even think you can make it off $10 an hour. Not in some places.
You can't. And think of how great a universal basic income would help, you know, people who are lacking, who do need that extra money to pay for their, you know, their medications, who do need that extra money to, like, you know, for necessary expenses at home, you know, or to just pay rent because your other money went towards, like, other bills in which you're trying to catch up on. But the thing about it is it's not to the standpoint of, you know, having people sit on a butt, like, what will also boost morale as well, too, because part of, you know, like, reasons people are low as well, because we're constantly thinking about what bill we got to pay next instead of what can I do to enjoy my family, you know. But your mindset is financially driven on what bill I have to pay next.
I get it, and I'm just playing devil's advocate with the way I asked that question, but at the same time, you know, you do have some people that game the system, just like with food stamps. And I ain't talking about just, I mean, these are very sophisticated people, man, that's gaming the system when it comes to stamps and benefits and things of that nature. Now, if they do this, there could be a situation and scenario where they can hurt the whole system with that,
the
thought process.
The percentage of people that commit actual, like, food stamp fraud, the percentage of time that it had is so small when you look at how many people actually utilize the system, that, you know, they like to perpetuate old, you know, the welfare mom, the people on fraud. It's so small that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, people that look like us.
If it was effective, if they were effectively stealing from it, then they would have changed it up, did something different a long time ago. Mm-hmm. It's so small. It's a part of that whole conservative media that want to knock people down from getting the help that they are required in a lot of the cases to have things like food stamps or a welfare system.
If you would like to get in this conversation, the number to dial in is 516-387-1542. The phone lines are open.
Yep.
We would like to hear from you guys today. And because I know, man, we haven't been on for a little while. We got a lot to talk about. We missed you guys last week, but this week we're about to play catch up today.
So I really want to get into this next question, bro. So
okay,
the next question about is America ready for a female president who is a person of color?
Man, they gonna lose their mind. They lost their mind with Barack Obama. You know they gonna lose their mind with Ms. Harris. I'm telling you, because I really feel like Joe ain't going to finish out that whole 4 years. I truly don't believe he – I don't think he is. And she going to sit up in there, and she going to regulate and wreck shop. The Simpsons, y'all know how I'm about the Simpsons and their predictions. The female president that was on there was a person of color. Think about how she handled herself and what she said. Trump left us in a mess. Boom. Watch what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think she'll do fine, and they'll get over it. They will, just like they got over the first black one.
No, they didn't. Barack. They ain't got over Barack. They still hate
they
Barack.
They still
bringing up Barack name about stupid stuff. They ain't going to get over the fact that a person of color was in power for 8 years, ultimate power of their country, America. America was ran by a black man, and you know they hated it.
But the thing about it is that, you know, like, the bigger discussion is, will these, you know, seasoned hegemonic white males work with her? Will they work with her?
I think Joe gonna set it up for that to happen. I think, you know, because he is a old school politician across the aisle, even though we bring up everything about him, how he says some jacked up stuff and his mentality. I mean, he is an old white dude. Let's be honest. Let's be real. What else would you expect from him? He said the things that some of them probably wanted to say. He just said it out on the floor of Congress. Period. That's just the bottom line. So with her being in that position that she's in, and his legacy being attached to her, I doubt if he put her in a position where she would fail. I truly do.
No, I don't think he'll put her in a position. I think there'll be underhanded people that will want her to fail in Washington.
Right. What's that dude with the turkey neck? Mitch
McConnell.
Yeah,
that's
the
real devil.
I'm telling you, out of all the evil people who's
pulling the strings, he's the devil. He is Satan. Him and what's Ivanka's husband's name?
Jared Kushner.
Jared Kushner and Mitch McConnell are the most dangerous people in America right now. Mitch McConnell has been behind all these judges being elected. You know, his is what is the guy, the attorney general in Kentucky? Isn't that his son-in-law?
Yeah, the black dude. Yeah, the black dude.
Uh-huh, that's his son-in-law.
Breonna Taylor, guy. Yeah. Married to a white married to his daughter or the granddaughter. Who
Daniel Cameron. Damn.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Evil. Yeah. They're dangerous.
Yeah, they. I mean, they're beyond dangerous because when you even think about what they're setting up, Mitch McConnell is doing what I think a person that knows that their lineage is about to be taken over.
Yep.
I think he's putting himself in a position where they will basically secure a future that their children will still have some semblance of power. That's
yeah,
what I'm
I think they're definitely,
doing.
You know, they are definitely grooming, you know, people behind the scenes to continue, you know, with that same agenda, bro. Yeah, we definitely going to see that. So I am interested to see who will possibly run after him as a Republican in Kentucky. But we definitely, like, I definitely see my guy Charles Moore get it, man, for real.
But you know one
Charles
thing Moore, that inspires me that you just said is just, you know, they're grooming their generations that will come after them to take over. And we as a people, and people of color, black people, people of, you know, that aren't that, you know, elite is people, you know, we need to start making our own seats, our own tables, and start claiming ownership of our own table and not look to see the theirs. That's what we need to teach our children. I would teach my children, learn to make your own table to sit at and don't beg them to sit at theirs because they don't want you there.
I think that's possibly what's going to happen with, you know, the Trumpets. They possibly on their own and, you know, possibly try to make another run for like some type of bid somewhere, because you do have a base of people who did support Fox News who have left Fox News because of, you know, the announcement of Joe Biden being the winner, right? And moving to platforms. So I'm pretty sure something of that particular group of people will possibly try to form another party as well. But I see we have a caller. We want to bring in our guy, Bill, from Hear Me Out.
What's up, everybody?
What's going on, brother?
Hey.
So listen, first of all, I wanted to start off because I think somebody brought up the point of, like, where we're headed and how they're setting up their future and everything. So I think that right now, just kind of put things in perspective of right now. So, you know, when Trump did actually, well, when once Biden actually did become president-elect, a lot of people did leave. A lot of people lost Fox News, and then he lost a lot of Republican support as well. I think a lot of people, a lot of Republicans, they tolerated him, but they didn't really want to, like, deal with him another 4 years. So, yeah, I do believe that they are going to start, that there's a potential that they may start their own party of some sort of way. But I really wanted to touch on the fact that, like what we're about to experience in these next few weeks. And I think Jen, I think I heard Al even say something about it, about, you know, just being prepared for what's about to happen, because like what we're going to see in the media, like we see these MAGA marches that's trying to imitate us. Like these people have no original ideas. And like, I don't see why we even sit there and deal with the stuff that they give us, like the stuff that we take from them. Like, why do we even sit there and tolerate it? When we're sitting here looking at and I hate to say it like this, but I'm gonna call it favorable to say, we're looking at a race, that's basically just feeding off of us and taking it and doing the exact same thing. But they're whitewashing it. They're making it okay. They're making it okay to walk and protest in the streets now. They're making it okay for you to twerk it and do all this on social media. When, you know, we had our own people that couldn't get they couldn't get jobs because they couldn't do this or they couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? So I think that, like, right now, man, if we could just find some type of way to, like, right now is our time to kind of channel everything. Like you all said, everything's not going to be over in the next couple of months. And I think people really need to realize that. Like, they need to understand that, like, you know, COVID's going to be around for a little while, so we might as well come up and get used to it. But in this time, while getting used to it, we need to be trying to mentally and physically prepare ourselves and spiritually, you know, whatever God you may believe in or if you may not. You know what I'm saying? Like, right now is that time because things are about to get a little crazy, and it's not going to be from a lot of Republicans like everybody thinks. Don't get me wrong. I know a lot of good Republicans out there that are for, you know, that stand for what the Republican Party was supposed to stand for. Let me say that in quote unquote, you know, but I think that, you know, there's a lot of them that's out here that, and we're about to see them now. Just so those same people that switching over from Fox News to,
Newsmax.
You said it earlier. Newsmax. Those people that switching over to those Newsmax, those are the same people that we really need to kind of just, I'm gonna use a football term. Just keep your head on the swivel, man, because like you never know what to expect right now. Not trying to scare anybody, no means, but you know, like we have to be prepared. And I, you know, the old folks used to say it, and I know all y'all have heard it. You know what I'm saying? If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. Point blank period.
That's true. Ben, what are your thoughts on this administration, and do you have any expectations of them as far as with this election?
So I do, man. I'm not going to say it like I don't expect them to do a lot, but there are some basic things that I expect them to touch on. One being, you know, obviously COVID, because it's affecting
correct,
like our community overall. You get what I'm saying? Like the fact that you got a parent that's trying to decide if I should stay home and make sure my kid get on a Zoom call in the morning, or dang, I may be late for work, or I may have to just set an alarm and wake them up. Like, it's like, man, just sitting here thinking about all my imagination can't even reach to all the scenarios that's going on right now. And no offense to any other race, but I'm talking about my race right now, and I know they're suffering, and we've already been suffering. Like, you know, but I, you know, I get your question, but like, you know, we've always found a way to overcome something. Like, I don't
right.
care what it is, we always find a way to overcome it. And I think that we can overcome this right here. But what I expect, one, is for them to definitely to touch on the COVID. I want them to kind of address that in our community. I definitely want them to the second thing I want them to touch on is education as a whole. I mean, from secondary level all the way up to higher education.
Get rid of Bessie DeVos.
Bessie need to be out the door already. She don't even need to be in there. She don't even need to be thinking about that. She need to be packing
exactly.
right now. Because she screwed up a lot of stuff, man, we see some of it right now, man, but hopefully, you know, and I think Gina touched on this earlier as well, like, you know, when Biden and them really get in, like, we're not going to see a lot of the change that we want right then and there, but people, please understand that, like, that's the importance of voting right there, because you're not going to see the change right then and there. You're going to see it probably 3 or 2 years down the road. And so what we would have reaped from Obama, we couldn't, because Trump went in and put all these executive orders in. And so it messed us up. So, you know, but I don't expect Biden to go in and make a lot of the executive orders. But I expect him to go in and be Biden, work across the aisle, man. Like, you know, build that bipartisan relationship again. That's what I expect
to hopefully.
Do.
Hopefully.
Because
that's
just him.
Hopefully,
yeah,
right.
Hopefully he'll do that, man. Just to everybody, this one thing we definitely need to really converse about. Trump is out now. 2024. What if this dude runs again? What effect will this have on America? I mean, can we take another election cycle of this dude at 70? I mean, you think about it, he crazy now. They say he'll be about 78 in 2024. Can we take another cycle of this fool?
I don't think that crazy? He would ever. First of all, I don't think he physically could do it. And second of all, I don't think that he could ever win again, because the only reason why Trump won is because of Hillary Clinton. That more so than she lost than he won, because people voted against her and he was just the other candidate, because people disliked her that much and they took a chance and said, oh, well, that's how he got the extra votes. And so I don't think that would happen. Unless we just have a horrible candidate on the other side, I just don't even see people entertaining it. People are exhausted. They are exhausted from everything that has happened for the last 4 years.
And he won't even have a chance, man. Like, there, you know, he's going to get the, you know, the possible potential media attention, right? But as far as, you know, like the people that are in the pipeline that are coming up and, you know, wanting to run for president the next time, even on the Democratic level, like we got, like there are so many great people to choose from, even on the Green Party level. You know, there are, you know, great candidates to even look for, to even find a happy medium. And so, you know, I don't think we'll, you know, we will want to go back to the extreme again, because the extreme is just too stressful, man. Like, it's stressful, like even white folks.
Al, listen, I'm telling you, this is the reason why that question, you know, that question was very important, because if you look at how Trump is positioning himself right now, you have a lot of Republicans that are scared to go against him. Right now, they should be jawjacking him. Hey, man, you ain't the president. You need to go ahead and get on up out of there. But they so scared because, number one, 2 years from now, what happens? His supporters can get them up out of there and put one of their candidates in there. So, I mean, he still holds a lot of political chips, a lot of political chips. And it ain't too far off 4 years from now. Don't say, oh, he ain't got a chance, because we thought he didn't have a chance in 2016.
Well, I also want to see, you know, what will occur from these potential court cases that he will have as well, too, because people possibly will want to distance themselves from him. Now, we've seen some people already doing that, but possibly some of the ones who we've seen that are still loyal with him may possibly start distancing themselves, you know, from him, if some of those cases, you know, come to light and the information in which we have begin bits and pieces from, you know, hold up.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I look at that in a different light, because when you ask me that question, I think about what Trump represents, what his brand represents. Trump is thinking about himself overall. We all know that. But at the same time, we all know what MAGA means.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I think that him running and him acting the way he is, him being who he is, just like the type of feeling that he brought back for some people. I know not for none of us on the phone, but I definitely believe that we may see some very high power white supremacy people step in, and like later on down the road, we may actually see like that come out. I'm not saying that they're not already there right now. Like, we all know, you know, obviously they're infiltrated, well, they're involved with the government. But I think that, you know, for these higher offices, and like we're gonna see a lot more, I guess, outspoken. It's not gonna be politically correct anymore. It's not gonna be what's best for the kids that's watching this at home anymore. Like, we're gonna see a different style of politics going forward.
Hopefully not, because I mean that mess that we got going, this uncivilized mess that we got going on, it shows the ignorance. I mean, there's some civility in us when we do conduct politics in a proper manner. Now, are politicians what they should be? By no means. A lot of them are crooks, liars, and thieves. Period.
Right.
But at
right.
least they know how to conduct themselves in a manner where they're not calling people disrespectful names. They're not disrespecting their handicaps. They're not doing anything of that nature. But the next thing that we really need to cover on this also is how do we make sure, well, not we, but the Democrats, make sure that they don't alienate the moderate Republicans that may need to vote for them on the next election cycle and the one beyond that? Because right now, I mean, if the Democrats come in like straight hot and go hard, they're going to have a lot of people like, man, I don't want to deal with these Democrats. I ain't voting for none of that. I ain't dealing with them. I'm going to vote Republican again. How can they change that thought process?
I think the strategy, if it was me, is just instead of being like Obama and trying to get along with them, pass what you need to pass and do what you need to do. You're not going to please everybody. Worry about 4 years from now. Worry about some of that when that come along and get whatever you can get now, instead of trying to be their friend. Because you're just not going to sway some people. And I think that some things that are considered or propagandized, you know, are as way left or some of them are actually middle ground for a lot of Americans. And I think that people underestimate people. I think universal health care is one, like this propaganda. Everybody, oh, that's so left. That's crazy. That's left. I heard a thing of Kelly Loeffler, a commercial. She basically called Warnock, who's a preacher,
oh,
he's a Baptist church. But anyway, so, you know, the, oh, they're so left and they're the, but, you know, most people know that that's, they're way down the middle on that issue, and stop worrying about whether it's too left or too right, and pass what is right and do what you have to do, and stop trying to be their friend, because Obama made that mistake and didn't get a lot done trying to shake
hands. Right. That's right. And we can't continue to do that, man. Like, we got to start, you know, moving towards the betterment of what we, well, I guess you would say the idea of being, and, you know, an American, I guess. But I mean, like, when I even say that, you know, to y'all, like I feel some type of way. When
why
I hear
hold
other
on,
people.
Hold on, elaborate that. Elaborate that.
All right. So, it's like,
oh, hold on one second. Hey, Bill, could you take that off speakerphone there, brother?
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's like, I'm not a, you know, how the whole feeling of being a patriot of the United States, America, and I'm American. Like, I really, like,
you
I don't
shouldn't feel like
all
that.
Of that.
You shouldn't feel like
all
that. No, you
yeah.
shouldn't feel like
and
that, because
so,
our people made this country, dude. Period.
Exactly.
Even though they, even
exactly.
though we are strangers in our own, in this land, but our people made this country. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But yes, I agree with that, man. But like, it's like we are, like I said on, you know, previous shows, we are still treated as less than and second class, bro. Like, it
because
doesn't matter how many accolades that I have accumulated. I am still, like, our people are still treated as less than and second class, bro.
Well, it goes back to the machine that we're dealing with and fighting against. There's
mm-hmm.
a daily machine.
That's correct.
And a mentality that's perpetuated daily to let everybody know that people of color, black people specifically, are this, that, and that. I mean, you think about it. The average person ain't going to say it to your face. The average white person ain't going to
mm-hmm.
say it to your face. They ain't gonna tell you, oh yeah, this is how I really feel about you. But I mean, you're inferior. You're like there was a I mean, there's a mentality where they look at us as slaves. They don't even know our history because number one, in America, we're not taught. And that's a whole nother show. Let me stop.
No,
I'm gonna leave it right there. I'm gonna leave it right there.
You see what?
Keep going. I'm gonna leave it right there. I'm gonna leave it right there. But I mean, I get it. I get
real.
What you're saying as far as that. But. The thing is, when we're looking to the future and we're looking at mm-hmm. how these elections are going, and I know we kind of elaborated on it earlier, and we're looking at the state of Georgia just going blue.
Let's get it. Keep going.
Do you think these states will continue to flip-flop or go one way hard? They're going to either go hard right or hard left. Do you feel like that's going to happen?
But what you see is what
yeah.
happened was, when you looked at the map, like Georgia was still red, bloody red.
Yeah,
but
Lord.
What happened is,
mm-hmm.
it's metro areas where people are moving and
right.
the demographic is
yep.
changing. Those were the strong
yep.
blue, and that's where people are going. Gwinnett County, Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. DeKalb, Cobb, all of the, you know, metro areas are being mixed with white
Henry,
and black people
hey.
Who don't feel that way.
My
that's
county,
right.
my county has elected 90% black Democrat people running it right now. Now, if they mess this up, that's going to be on them. Yeah, you're right, Jen. Now, I'm going to tell you, for all those that are listening to us that don't live in the state of Georgia, Atlanta is not Georgia. By no means. You got little pockets in Savannah. You got little pockets
right.
in Macon.
But,
you got little pockets down there in Valdosta.
But
you get outside
hopeful,
the city of Atlanta,
what's
you got to leave it
alone. When you look at Savannah. Look at Savannah and look at Gwinnett County, which were interesting
mm-hmm.
to me. So Gwinnett County is about 30 miles north of Atlanta. So 40 miles north of Atlanta. So the interesting part about that is that we are moving to different areas. We are expanding. Gwinnett County
that is correct.
25 years ago isn't the Gwinnett County now. So we're moving
mm-hmm.
outside of Atlanta, and it's creeping. We're moving to places like Savannah, of all the epitome of the South. it's turning blue. Like, you know, when we have a black college down there, we have people who are staying in our in this state, and that is happening throughout the country, and we're spreading. And also, a lot, we underestimate our young people. We have people now, white people, that are young, that grew up with people of color, with black kids. They have black friends. They interact with black people. I remember
them.
The young white lady who was arguing. I don't know if you guys seen it. It was a TikTok or Instagram or whatever. But she was arguing with her parents over Black Lives Matter and telling them that they were wrong. And then she started to cry and was like, "You guys are racist." You know, there are a lot of kids like that growing up, and soon they will be 18.
Yes.
And a lot of them turned 18 this time.
Yes.
And it's going to keep happening over and over and over again. And that whole era will continue to wipe out.
And to build on that, their younger siblings are 13 and 14 now, right? In four more years, guess who voted? Them.
Mm-hmm.
And they look up to who? Their big brothers and big sisters.
I'm telling y'all, this stuff is so deep ingrained, man. It's going to take generations. We are not going to be...
The internet speeds it up because the internet allows you to interact with people like we have never seen before. Like before, you were limited to your town, your people, your school, and the small community. And what the internet has done, see, these kids, you know, we joked about that earlier about me knowing people who didn't know about stamps, and Al made a good point. These kids are from an era where all they know is internet. They were born with the internet already intact. We weren't. They weren't. That's all they know. Their community is the world. The internet makes the world your community.
That's right.
Which is a very strange thing.
That's right.
But you know what? The thing is, there's a question that I purposely skipped so we can go back to it. I'm glad y'all cared it this way. The Democrats are basically catering to the fragility of white people, and that's basically what we're talking about to a certain degree of some whites, not all whites, some whites. They have to be catered to get them to vote for them on every little aspect of every little issue. And, Jen, you said something powerful earlier. They're going to really have to get down and say, man, forget how you feel. I'm going to do what I need to do. And just like Al, you said, the common sense of it all. I'm going to do the common sense things, and we're going to push this country forward.
That's right.
If they keep going this way to make this person feel good, that way to make this person feel good, that way, this way, you get pulled 20 directions. How are we ever going to know what your real focus is?
Look, man. Some of those, you know, Democrats will not be in office in 2 years from now. You know, we have a lot of progressive, you know, people who are running, you know, trying to really make change and actually standing on what they're talking about. Cori Bush is one of them, right? She finna get in there and she finna make some change. She finna scare some people. She finna get some people in line to do the right things and speak up on the right things when it's your time on the floor. Because she's going to do that. And she's going to make other people follow her and do the same. Watch. That's just an example.
What about you, Jen? What do you think about the Democrats catering to white fragility?
I think it's – I can't remember. I was sitting here trying to look up her name. Y'all help me out. What's the lady, the young girl, the Hispanic girl from – she don't give two – what's
AOC?
Her name?
AOC?
Yeah, she don't give two blankety blanks about nobody.
At all,
she's
man.
Gonna do what she
yes,
wanna do,
sir.
And basically she done gave everybody the middle finger. And I think it's a lot more just like her, cut waiting in the wings to step up, where she says you're not going to intimidate us. You're not going to act like you're the ruler, and we're here too, and you're going to hear me, and we're going to be here too, and we're going to speak for the people in our communities. And
it's
I think
refreshing.
There's a lot of people like that, sister, that are waiting in the wings to have positions. And I say this for Democrats too, and I know I might get a lot of flack. One thing that Trump said, and I'll call out, he's called out and said it's a lot of people, Democrats, that we praise and we put glory hats on and king hats on, and they've been in leadership for 50 years, 30 years, and they did a doggone thing. They need to go to.
Exactly. They are getting out of there. And to speak back on AOC as well, if you look at the amount of people that are following her and you look at the age ranges of her followers, right, these are people who are going to be in the next in line voting for who? For her.
Mm.
And their siblings are going to do what? Vote for her too, because they follow them on social media. They're not following like these old school Democrats and Republicans. Nobody's following Mitch McConnell. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are following their narrative. They are seeing what they are, you know, saying on the floor, saying in their communities. They are seeing it because they are following them on social media. That also is going to be the change to erase that white fragility as well, man.
Yeah.
I feel you. I can't wait to see it. It will be very refreshing to see someone that will sit up there and speak their mind like Jen and speak up for the people. Hopefully we have more people on the local level that will get like that, but
yeah.
These career politicians, like you said, Jen, we got to watch out for them. We got to definitely hold them accountable. We got to start kicking people out.
I know it sounds corny, Kevin, but it's like I was looking back on some of my memories of when Obama was elected back in 08, and some of the things I forgot, he said, we are the change that we've been waiting for. People have to start when it's time to elect. Well, like a lot of times we just wait to see who's going to show up on the ballot. But when it's time for someone to sign up, like say, how many people know a cool lawyer in their town and how many people say, hey, I really want you to run to be attorney general. I mean, not attorney general, a district attorney. I really want you to run for so-and-so or so-and-so. Or, you know, a police officer that's a good police officer say, why you don't run for sheriff? Why don't we? It's up to us to join these community forums to know when it's time for these nominees to sign up and to make sure you have the right people signing up. If you don't want to sign up yourself, you should have a suggestion or encourage a friend or a neighbor or whomever and support them and sign up for them if we want real change in our community. And like Barack said, we are the change we've been waiting for. If we want the change, then we got to do it ourselves. We can't wait. That's another thing. And I think even Bill had said this on our show before, all the time that we wait for the wolf to give us a pass. That's crazy.
Yep.
We've got to start taking ownership of our own fate and our own lives and stop waiting for them to hate. It's really a side effect from mental abuse from slavery. Like, we need to stop waiting for their approval and for them to pass it to us, and we got to start taking it ourselves.
That's true. That's very true. If we can go to the last question, I know we kind of talked about the coup. If y'all want to talk about this coup that's going on, we can kind of revisit that again. But I'm wondering about D.C. and Puerto Rico. I know they don't want D.C. not D.C., but they don't want – well, they don't want D.C. or Puerto Rico when they're being able to vote and be in state.
There's a lot of Puerto Ricans that want independence, and there's a lot of Puerto Ricans that want to be a state. I say that – to be fair, taxation without representation isn't fair. They have millions of dollars that come into the U.S. because of Puerto Rico. I say that they should hold an election in Puerto Rico, let the people decide if they want to be a state or
that
if they want to be independent. And if they decide to be that they want to be a state after the vote, then let them become a state. The 50th state. And D.C. is crazy. It's not a part of any state anywhere. It needs to be its own state. Just make it official. And so that will give us more power in Congress and also more power in the Senate.
And that's what they don't want.
Exactly. Because, man, you think about D.C., D.C., regardless of all those people that live there, it's still predominantly black area, black city.
It's got more people than North Dakota, probably.
Oh, man, it's got all kind of representatives out of North Dakota.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, why?
The whole state of North Dakota. So they deserve to be a state.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a great show, y'all. I'm energized. I'm happy to be back. I appreciate you, Bill, for calling in and voicing your opinion to everybody that's on the internet listening right now, that clicked on that link and you're listening. Share this show with your friends. Go over to our Facebook page and join us. We want to get up to 800 members. We're real close right now. Tell a friend to tell a friend about us. We got a great show, as you can see. And next time, we want to hear from you. That number is 516-387-1542. You always press that number one. It will bring you into the conversation. We would love to hear from you. We got some other interesting topics that we're going to be coming up with. I think this is probably going to be our wind down for a while about politics, unless something stupid happens. like Trump still sitting in there too long and they ain't drag him out. But other than that, we got to get back to life and reality and speaking about other things.
I agree.
About us as humans. So what you got there, Al?
Yo, I'm just excited, man, to have a potential new beginning with, you know, this new administration, man, because it was just stressful at one point waiting on this election, brother. But I'm really, you know, hoping for a time for America to heal, come together, really focus on things which will help the American people, and, you know, really take this pandemic seriously. So we can get better as a community. And hey, we definitely appreciate everyone for, you know, checking out our shows, still listening to our old shows. We definitely appreciate that. The numbers have been rising lately. So we definitely have been seeing an influx of people listening to some of our older shows as well. So you can definitely scroll through our catalog and just pick a show and just check us out, man. Let us know your thoughts as well, too. Jen, man, you got any last words?
Yes, I do. I'm really concerned about why is it every time I have tried to take advantage of the Black Friday deals on Walmart.com that someone goes in and steals like all the TVs. They had a 65-inch TV for $128 I had been waiting and waiting and waiting for, and within 2 minutes it was sold out because it just really altered all my Christmas plans because I was going to give it as a Christmas gift. And so I don't know. I'm just really upset by that.
They're called bots. As soon as those things open up, they buying everything. But
look,
let me tell you,
they had the really nice air fryers, like the really, really good ones. They had them for $50. So I was like, oh, I'm going to have bomb Christmas gifts this year because I was going to get a couple of those. I was going to get some TVs. They had the 42-inch for $88 and the 65-inch for $128. So it's in my car at 7 o'clock. I go at 7. It's like almost 7:02. It has to be 7:01:48 seconds, and I hit like purchase it, and when I did, it was like this item has been sold out. I was
Let me tell you something. You got to go to a Walmart that's way out the way. I'm taking a little secret now, like where nobody live at, but they got a Walmart, and that's where you're gonna be able to buy stuff at in person. Other than that, you go to anywhere where it's populated.
At. No store. You know you from 1927. Don't nobody buy that in no store no more.
You still can go there. At least you can have the stuff. You ain't got to be worried about somebody jacking you.
I'm not going inside of no coronavirus Walmart.
Man, look, get a respirator. That's all like the gas mask type.
No, man.
then you just walk in like
Amazon?
That.
Amazon or Walmart.
But listen, man. I'm just saying, that's how you get it. Look, seriously, brand smart. You got one near you. Go there. You'll thank me later.
No, they shut that down.
What?
Hey, but if y'all are still shopping for good deals out there, you can definitely go to WeBuyBlack.com or ShopBlack.us and shop there, man.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that. Most definitely. All right.
They have TVs?
Yeah, they got everything.
Okay.
Yeah, go to WeBuyBlack.com.
Okay.
Yeah, got everything. All right, great show, y'all. We'll see all y'all next week. We'll have a topic up real soon, and we look forward to hearing from you guys. Once again, thank you, Bill, from Hear Me Out. Hopefully, if they got a show tonight, y'all make sure y'all go over there. Bill, share a link on our Facebook page so they can get over there and hear Me Out. One down.
We got a show.
Okay, that's what's up. That's what's up. Make sure you what y'all talking about tonight?
The world, man. It's always something going on crazy.
The world, Craig. The world. The world, Craig. All right.
Hey, what time the show start, Bill?
8:30. It started at 8:30.
That's Central Time, y'all. Those that don't need
Central.
8:30
Central. Time. Yeah, 8:30 Central
Time. All right. All right. Well, yeah, y'all go check out them brothers. They got a great show. And do you have a podcast of the day or something like that? What we normally do, a podcast of the day? We ain't got one of those.
Yes. Well, we just gave a shout out to Bill from Hear Me Out. He is a Black-owned podcast, him and his boy Jay Prince. Appreciate y'all.
There you go. All right. See y'all next week.
Yep.